Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Hope you're ready, because 24 hours from right now, we kick off a special off-season edition of Packer Transplants Live. That's right, Corey Behnke talking about the Packers, an event never to be missed. Can't wait. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. 5 Eastern, 4 Lambeau, right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be great to let Corey know what's been going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And one of those items that we'll be talking about is the addition of Sky Moore, the return specialist. I think that's a fine label to bestow upon the young man, who will come in, hopefully, to stabilize a problem issue in Green Bay for years and years and years. You remember how the Green Bay Packers were 22nd in league average as far as kick return last season in 2025? Remember how they were dead last in punt return yards on average in 2025? Sky Moore can fix that if they let him. Because we all saw what happened last offseason. Brought in Mecole Hardman. Figured, okay, he's here to be a returner. And then we got to camp, and they ran him as a rotational guy with the ones, which made sense. He's a veteran and obviously has played some big-time ball in Kansas City, and you think, okay, they got him in the mix, so to speak, as part of a rotation, but mostly he's going to be a returner, right? And then you get to that first preseason game. He has a couple of muffs there on punt return, and seemingly, that was it. It was all over. You guys remember, he was cut, and the Packers made do on returns for the remainder of the year, specifically on punt return with Romeo just catch it and fall forward Dobbs, and that's no slight on Romeo. Never been a returner, was never tasked with returning until the Packers got desperate and said, Romeo, just go out there, catch the ball, don't fumble it, fall forward as much as you can. Now they have a chance to correct that. And look, I understand Sky Moore is not a traditional Packers wide receiver. He's under 6 foot. You know, there's a guy who's played predominantly on the perimeter. He's been an outside receiver for the few times he's been out there in the last couple of years. I mean, he was barely used outside of, I believe, the one game in Arizona or against the Cardinals last year where he was on the field, had a number of snaps. But outside of that one game for the 49ers, he barely played from scrimmage for San Francisco and certainly didn't do a whole hell of a lot from scrimmage for the Chiefs prior to the trade to San Francisco a couple years ago. But I still think he's got talent. He was a draft crush of mine coming out of college. And I think, yes, he can solve the Packers' issues at returner if they let him. If they get cute and get all caught up in, well, you know, he's not the greatest compliment there on the perimeter outside, we can probably get away with ... no Brian, no Milt, there's no getting away with it this year. You're not going to get away with Bo Melton this season. Look, no shade to Bo, hopefully he makes the team and is able to contribute on both sides of the ball, but not at the expense of an actual returner, not this year. Let Sky Moore do what he does, i.e. return. I think he was, what, fifth or sixth in the league punt return average last year? Seventh in kick? Let him do what he does. Set it and forget it for once at return. All the misgivings about whatever he provides or doesn't provide from scrimmage, be damned. Have a returner on the roster who's just there to be a returner. I swear you can juggle things other places at other positions down the depth chart, who's on the practice squad, who's coming up week by week, and then who do you got to sign to the 53 because you've called him up 3 times. You'll deal with all that through the season. Don't touch the returner. Let Sky Moore be the returner. Set it and forget it. I'm begging you. That's my entreaty to the Green Bay Packers here late March. As Soder indicated before I got on here live, just because I have now made this video, guarantees he'll be cut prior to the end of camp. No question about it. So thanks for pointing that out, Soder. I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all lining up here, chatting, doing your thing. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at thetacare.org/heart.
All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? Let's see what's happening here in the chat, starting with Andrew Ware. How are you, Andrew? Randy Packer, I think you mean Random Packer, Eugene Robinson. Sorry. Whew, that's a tough pull to start. Appreciate that trip down memory lane, more like amnesia lane. Mike Witt, how are you, brother? Hot take, with Jacobs getting older and more expensive by the year and Lloyd not able to stay healthy, running back is a sneaky need in the draft. Thoughts? Sorry, I laugh anytime anybody talks about any need being sneaky, because in this day and age, everyone's poring over every potential kind of outcome of the draft, where they might utilize draft assets. Hardly anything sneaky in 2026 with the advent of the internet. You know, yes, running back is a need. There's zero question about that. I don't think there's anything sneaky about it. They certainly need to find some kind of complimentary back. There's no doubt that, you know, they've brought back Chris Brooks. They love what he does as far as a lot of the traditional third down stuff, mostly because of his pass pro acumen. He'll undoubtedly be in the mix. But yeah, they need something as far as not just a compliment to Josh Jacobs, but as you indicate, there's a decent chance. I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion, but there's a decent chance that this is possibly Josh Jacobs' last year in Green Bay, given how his contract lays out. Now, maybe they approach him about a pay cut next offseason, kind of like they did with Aaron Jones towards the end. Entirely possible, right? But yes, they have to be looking forward at the position. And no, there, as we've discussed many times, Marshawn Lloyd cannot be counted on. There is no world where you should be saying, well, and we've got Marshawn Lloyd. No, that is a lottery ticket. Maybe it hits. That's a big, underlined, italicized maybe. So, yeah, I don't think it's a sneaky need. I think it's a need, point blank. And I suspect probably day three they address it, though. Who knows with the Packers, man? Yeah, I'm still kind of in shock at the A.J. Dillon pick from years ago. You know, taking a running back in the second round in this day and age feels crazy to me. But, hey, like I said, they've done it. And maybe they do it again. What, 1 month from tonight, people? The Packers will be on the clock. God willing. We shall see. AK, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags. I hope you're doing well. Personally, I feel special teams is going to kick ass this year. Also, pulling a nose tackle and cornerback in the draft. Go Pack, go, baby. Yeah, definitely think special teams is going to be refreshed with a new voice, a new coach, etc. But, you know, yeah, I am certainly living right where I was with the defense for such a long time, where I got to see it. You know, I got to see it to believe it. The Packers have been so mediocre to downright bad on special teams for so long. It's hard to get too excited. I like your optimism. Certainly hope that is the case, but yeah, I'm probably going to be you're going to have to show me kind of attitude throughout 2026. Now, again, letting Sky Moore just be the returner should help. And hopefully Brandon McManus doesn't have injury issues and they have guys in and out at kicker for a stretch during the season, right? Some of these things hopefully do not occur and they're able to just find a groove and at least help win some football games rather than contribute to losses. Let's say that. I'm down with this idea. Dr. Abba Zabba. How you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, you know Moore's not going to make the team now, right? Nagler's never right. Kidding. I hope he makes a statement and no more fair catches on every punt. Here's the thing, though. I mean, to Dobbs's eternal credit, Yeah, occasionally he would fair catch something with space in front of him, but he caught everything and at least tried to gain a few yards after the catch, right? More often than not. Now, again, not a natural returner, hadn't done a ton of it, so there were moments, sure, where probably could have gotten something when he fair caught it instead. Definitely happened on occasion. But, yeah, for the most part, I thought Dobbs did a pretty good job considering it was never really in his bag and something he'd been asked to do prior to this season. And I thought he did an okay job. But, yes, it'd be nice to have a natural returner back there. And you're probably right. As I said earlier, probably because I've brought this up, he'll probably get cut. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Better all time, Jeff, Query, Janice, or Saturday? Query for the mullet. Funnily enough, of those three on the field, it's probably Janice. I mean, yeah, he was inconsistent, but certainly showed explosiveness and big-time playability. No doubt about it. E4, what? Wasn't Made Do an all-female punk band from the 80s? Brother, you are on another planet with that one. No idea what you're talking about, but I appreciate the support. William James, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. I understand the Hardman thing a little bit. I was at the Cincinnati game in 13 when Jeremy Ross fumbled two punts, 12 and Coach swinging at each other. Ooh, that game was crazy, dude. I remember what you're talking about, I believe, is when McCarthy and Rogers got after each other on the sideline there in that Bengals game after a failed attempt in the red zone. I think they had three cracks at the end zone, couldn't get it in, and I think they settled for a field goal. And I remember the cameras catching an exchange between the two. Very testy, very hot-headed. Hope we see more of that in Pittsburgh this year. I kid. But yes, certainly you don't love watching a guy go out there, as we saw with Hardman in the preseason last season, and having him muff not one but two attempts. Certainly will give you a little bit of pause. But you've also seen him do it at a high level in the league for a number of years. You know, and I remember talking to Justice about this, and there was a bit of, oh, got to make a good impression on the coach. I got to make a play. You know, I think there was some of that. Certainly with a guy who probably knew he was a bit on the bubble and wanted to make something happen. I still would have stuck with him. That's just me. Clearly the Packers felt differently. Brady, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Packers should sign that A. Rodgers dude as QB2. I have kind of laughed at that idea a couple of times, watching kind of the discussion around Rodgers possibly returning to Pittsburgh, etc. In the back of your head, you're like, yeah, come on back. Backup love. I don't think that would ever happen. I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers would rather walk into the sea than work for or with Brian Gutekunst again. But, man, that would be brilliant. I would absolutely love it. I mean, I don't think his ego would ever allow him to be a backup, but it'd be perfect. He knows the system, right? It'd be amazing. But yeah, I don't see that occurring. Rich Harris, what's up? Value pick is code word for meh. Not necessarily. I mean, look, every single selection, usually like by round two even, but certainly by day three, everyone talks about value and, oh, it is a value pick, etc. You don't ever really know until these guys hit the field and start doing what they're doing in the league, but yeah, there's a lot of kind of, oh, great value there when guys get picked. I'll probably say it on draft nights. I zero doubt I'll probably say it, but no one really knows. Now there's the perception. Certainly, you know, what you look at the consensus board, if a guy who was considered to be, say, on the consensus board, a late second, earlier third round pick goes later on day three, you'll hear a lot of, oh, that's a value pick. And it very well could be. But you do have to let it play out a little bit. No sweat. Mike, thanks again, man. I'm excited for Sky Moore, but don't trust my opinion. I thought Amari Rodgers was going to be a good player for us. Yikes. Well, here's the thing. Who knows what Amari Rodgers might have been if he had been allowed to be the slot guy from the jump, you know, which was one of the reasons they drafted him in the first place.
But then they traded for Randall Cobb at the demand of Aaron Rodgers, and then Rodgers, Amari, was relegated to return duty. We'll never know. We'll never know. Doctor, thanks again. Correction, Dobbs didn't catch every kick. Not everyone, correct. E4, what's up, man? You used the term made do in your opening rant, rightly so. They made do, most certainly made do. What else we got here, folks? Rob, you're not wrong, man. Janice has one of the best catches in Packer playoff history. He kind of has two. I mean, obviously the touchdown's massive, but the fourth down catch is pretty sweet as well up that left sideline. I mean, look, he was never going to be the answer long term. Was never consistent enough, but he'll never be able to take away those plays in particular. But he made a number of other really, really big catches for the Packers. Like, definitely. Packers legend in the house. No doubt about it. Soder. Hell, let's just hope they don't carry two kickers in 2026. Baby steps. Anything is possible, man. Look, I'm fine if he's, like, you know, on the practice squad. But two on the 53 feels like a bit much. No question about it. New York Cheesehead says, too many games lost because of special teams the last couple of years. Yeah, it's hard to say, at least on my end. I can't really point to too many games. Now, of course, there are dramatic examples like the end of the Cincinnati game where if you just block up a protection on a kick, you're going to win that game, right? That's a very clear example of, okay, they very directly contributed to that loss, right? But I know I've seen people say, because then the next week they have a blocked extra point that goes back for two against Dallas, and that game ends up being a tie, etc. But man, there was so much ball game after that, right? The Packers had plenty of opportunities to win that game despite that blocked extra point. So it's like, I don't put that on special teams. Now, special teams contributed, no question about it, but it wasn't lost because of teams. But over the years, yes, you can certainly point to games that special teams have been a major problem. Let's say that. There I'm in total agreement. Soder, what's up? Query, best mullet. Magic, most productive mullet. Mandarich, biggest bust mullet. That's a pretty good categorization right there. That definitely fits it all in. Andrew Ware was at that Cincy game too. Go Pack, go. Yeah, that was a crazy game. I remember being incredibly frustrated at that game. And you could see they were too by the fight on the sideline. Well, Paul, I'm glad you brought him up. Paul asks, does Stackhouse make this team? Excellent question. I think a big component is going to be how much work he's putting in this offseason, what he's able to do as far as take on everything being asked of him in this scheme under Gannon, obviously very different than what he was going to be or was asked to do under Halfley. But so much of it is going to be contingent upon the work he does away from the facility. Does he come in, hit the ground running, and really absorb what's being asked and taught? And how much, you know, strength has he added? I think there were times last year where he did a nice job on a couple of different fourth downs where he blows up the point of attack and essentially, you know, helps get the ball back for the Packers on plays where the opponent was trying to go for it on fourth and short. He blows it up in the backfield and the Packers get the ball because of it. So those are some really nice plays. The issue, of course, is there are tons of other plays on a general like first and 10 where he's getting washed out in ways you just cannot be if you're going to be one of their kind of contributors on early downs, especially when teams are just committing to the run, you know, which especially early, I wouldn't be surprised if teams test the Packers early and often to see if they've improved in that regard. Can he be, you know, a contributor in that aspect of trying to turn that run defense around? I think absolutely, but he's got to play a hell of a lot better than he did on balance last year. Like I said, there were flashes. He had some moments, some really nice, promising moments, but for the most part, he was pretty disappointing for a guy who the whole expectation was for him to come in there, be that big hulking presence in the middle who's going to help with their run defense. And that certainly was not the case. We'll see, again, what kind of forward progress he makes. Oftentimes, guys' biggest jumps in the league come between year one and year two. But so much of that is dependent upon the work they do away from the facility. We shall see. I got to say, though, going to be interesting to see how the draft plays out and what his competition is. I mean, that's going to be, you know, obviously a big determining factor. Joe, will the loss of Tyler Herrick, Net Cheesehead TV, a comp pick? To be determined. It depends on, you know, the contract he signs with whatever airline he ends up piloting with. And I'm glad you brought it up. Yes, as I indicated on Twitter last night, Tyler will be leaving us here at Cheesehead TV at the start of the season. We're not losing him anytime soon, but we will be needing someone to come take over here at Cheesehead TV and head up our social media. As I indicated last night, make sure you reach out to contact@cheeseheadtv.com if you think that's you. If you think you got what it takes, send us your pitch and some examples of your work if you want. But yeah, it's a huge loss. Tyler's done amazing stuff for us throughout his entire time with the brand. Kind of crazy to think he just emailed us out of nowhere one day, years ago, and said, hey, I like what you guys do. I do social media at my job. I'd love to do it for you guys. That's literally how it started. And he just ran with it. And he's done such phenomenal work for us. We are really going to miss him. But, you know, he's going to go be a grown-up. Can't blame him for that. Meanwhile, I'm over here making YouTube videos every day. That's what I do. Love it. So, no, definitely going to miss Tyler. But, like I said, we've got him through the offseason. He'll be with us through the draft into OTA time and all that. But come the season, we're going to need someone new. So let us know if you're interested. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure I don't miss anything. Soder says Harvisek makes the team if he goes with a mullet. All right, now I need to go. All right, everybody, really appreciate it. Care of the G Club members, Patreon members, don't forget happy hour tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Lambeau. The information that you need is on your respective pages. Everybody else, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.